we do it like we do it.
Welcome back to PCP. Before we dive into the Bravo breakdown, of course, just a cute little reminder to please rate, review, subscribe, and follow to our podcast. We're pushing hard this year in 2024 to afford Ozempic for all three of us. So that little click, you'll get reminders every time a new episode drops. It will also make us feel prettier.
Mm-hmm. We like feeling pretty. Mm-hmm. Yes. We also want to apologize for no pop culture episode last week. Don't worry, you are going to be getting a pop culture episode this week. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but this week's pop culture episode will not be coming on Tuesday right after Bravo Breakdown. No. We're changing things up. 2024, again, it is our year. We're going to afford Ozempic. And so we are moving pop culture to Thursday. So Thursday, you get PCP again. So you get your spread of PCP Tuesday, Thursday. There you go. That's why you definitely need to subscribe so you get that little, like, little ding. New PCP has dropped. Ding. New PCP has dropped. So, yeah. That's where we're going.
A soundtrack for your week. Mm-hmm. The greatest hits. Since we are now on Bravo Breakdown, I guess where else do we begin? But the only thing that runs through my mind 24/7, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part one.
Doo, doo, doo. It was my very first reunion and I have nothing to compare it to. So I don't know if this was good or bad. I don't. And I know it's only a third of the way over. So I don't know if you can say if it's good or bad.
Yet. I feel like I don't think it was a bad reunion. It was the beginning of the reunion. They covered quite a bit of things. We went ahead and covered Anna Marie and anesthesiologist gate. And before we get into it,
Did we though? Because I still don't really have an answer from her.
Still double talking. She's double talking on social media.
She had the most round
and on other podcasts.
She had she referred to herself as an independent contractor, which okay. I'm sorry, independent practitioner. And then they asked her like, "Well, don't you have to work under an MD, under an anesthesiologist?" And she said, "No." And this was a really weird answer because it was so specific. She said, actually, you don't have to work under an anesthesiologist in 23 states plus Guam. And I was like, what? That was a really weird
answer. We're
going to
find out she's just a serial killer.
That's what I'm saying. I'm still sticking with that office a few weeks ago was not an office. Yeah. I mean, it was an office, but it was not an
You were right,
MD
though.
Office.
You were right. Since she's an independent practitioner, like, she basically had a WeWork space. You're like, there we go.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a feeling maybe she was, I don't know the ins and outs of medical employment like that, but I had a feeling that I thought, I was calling her freelance or roving.
It almost sounded like you wanted to say free range. She's a free range nurse anesthetist.
But the fact that she wouldn't specify whether she works under a doctor sketches me out. Because from the vibe I got and reading up a little bit, my amateur interpretation is that a nurse anesthet, whatever she is to anesthesia what like regular doctors, you have like nurse practitioners who have a prescription pad and they see you and do checkups, but they're not the doctor. And they practice under a doctor always. So
She got super defensive about that when they were like, don't you work under a doctor? Yeah.
Well, and then she did this on Heather McDonald's podcast, Juicy Scoop, where she basically claimed that she was a doctor because she said that by 2025, I believe all CRNAs, which is what she is, which is certified, registered, or whatever, nurse anesthetist, by then, all of the incoming ones have to have a PhD. So they have to have a PhD. So they will be they have a doctorate. They are doctors. So, but in that same thing, she claimed, she was like, so I am a doctor. No, honey, you are not a doctor. You have a master's degree, which you said just a couple of sentences before this whole proclamation. You said that you have a master's. You did not claim to have a PhD. You didn't claim to be working on a PhD, nor did you claim to be working on an MD or an OD for an an osteopath. So you are not a doctor. You are still a nurse anesthetist. You could be, a nurse practitioner. Like my stepmother's a nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. Yes, she could do a lot of things. She could do practically everything that a doctor could do, but with a lot of limitations. And she respected that. She didn't always respect the doctors because sometimes they weren't worth it. But at the same time, she also didn't claim to be a doctor either. She's retired now. That's why I say she didn't claim.
I love that nobody else seems to care on the cast. They just let it slide except for Crystal. Crystal just is, she is not going to let that go. She's not, and which I deservedly so, because on camera many, many times. And by the way, I just learned it was Anna Marie. I like that that Andy had to specify that, because I guess everybody's been saying Anna Marie the entire season. Crystal is just, I mean, that was the whole yelling bitch at her at the toothless, not homeless, or homeless, not toothless, whatever that was, because she keeps saying that she's a doctor. And Crystal's like, am I taking crazy pills? Am I the only one hearing this? Because nobody else seems to care.
Yeah, but also something about Anna Marie that we found out was that her mother had lung cancer last year and then also passed away, which then goes back to my opinion that housewives should not be on the show when a parent or a sibling passes away or is gravely ill. Mm-hmm. So I think it was really bad for her to do her first season. So I don't, because grief changes a person. A person is not the same person that they usually are when they're grieving and when they're going through all this stuff. So I don't know who, this may be a completely different person than she was 24 months ago before her mother got ill and passed away, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So imagine like that Anne Marie might have been very different than the one that's doubling down on being a doctor, not a doctor. So
I saw some defenders of hers when they heard that her mother died and that wasn't featured, saying she got a rough cut. It wasn't fair. But I thought about it.
She didn't want it to be on there though. Like she made that point.
Yeah, but some people were like, it would have made her, people would have been more sympathetic. It would have rounded her out. I disagree only because it was her first season. We didn't know her. Right. And the audience won't be that personal. It's not like if we've gone through beloved Bravo relatives dying. We saw MJ's father Shams pass and all that stuff, but it was part of the journey. We just knew her, so it wouldn't have. I think it was kind of smart to stick to her building her as a housewife or a character before we get invested in her family, which we have questions about. I don't think we're getting too invested in her husband after, but no. Yeah.
That was definitely a choice by Andy to say that at the very top, because it totally drove the narrative, because then all the other characters are like, ooh, we can't really be mean to her. She's crying about her mom right now. So it changed. I was shocked that he did that top, because it changed a lot. Yeah. And I think he probably knows, how could he not, that she's not very popular among the fans. So putting it at the top made her seem more relatable, and maybe people felt some empathy for her. But it just was weird because, like I said, Crystal was chomping at the bit, ready to attack. And then all of a sudden you hear about Anne Marie's, mother. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just odd.
Well, yeah.
But this, I know it's a three-part thing, so of course they're going to get into other things. And Sutton was pretty much on the sideline this time. I mean, there was the quick jokes about her making out with her driver, which, by the way, I have thoughts on. I'll discuss them.
I wouldn't know them now because I thought about you. I almost sent a sympathy text, but I didn't want to upset you because I knew you weren't watching at that time. You hadn't seen it yet.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm the driver. I didn't want to say it sooner, but I'm the driver. Yeah. Surprise! I'm actually the one who's going to come out when she passes out in 2 or 3 episodes. Yeah. When she has her medical thing, it's going to be me. But Erica too, totally on the sideline. I mean, she cracked a few jokes, but there was no. I mean, granted, there hasn't been much of her all season.
This is Eric. I would say this is Erica's time to coast. In leading up to the reunion, she said, "I've been like burned at the stake. It's time for Kyle. It's someone else's turn. It's Kyle's turn to get eviscerated." This is probably the least controversy she's had at a reunion.
Oh my God.
And I mean,
watching her sit in between Kyle and Dorit going at it was so awesome and yet uncomfortable. Anybody who comes from divorced parents who fought in front of you knows exactly the look that she had on her face. Like, we've all been there. We've all been like, please make it stop.
Oh, there was a point where she literally rolled her eyes and I loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just like, I mean, she's sitting there between, on one hand, she has the powerhouse Kyle. On the other side, she has the one who won't shut up, Dorit. So it's just like,
oh.
And then they
that's the one person.
Yeah, I was surprised they got into that because that's a pretty major topic. And they pretty quickly went right into Kyle versus Dorit. I thought that's something they would save to part two or later in this. Later,
this whole episode was just Dorit getting dragged by everybody. She got at the very top. She got dragged by Kyle. By Kyle, flat out saying, "We're not actually friends. I don't really like you that much." And then she got dragged by Garcelle for the whole unconscious Karen that lives in a bubble, and the whole don't tell a black woman that you're being attacked. And then Crystal attacked her, or Crystal went in on her about the child bride. So Dorit got dragged,
honestly. Yeah. And she should be getting dragged a little bit more for that red veil that she is wearing.
Yeah, it was hard to take her seriously anytime it cut to
with her Clark Kent curl and her cultural appropriated veil there. I mean, because she looks like
I was trying to pinpoint what culture. It was clearly, it's very sari-esque, like an Indian, but it could also be a hijab.
It looks like an Indian wedding veil because they usually wear red at weddings. Yeah. So that's, I mean, her dress though does not look like that, but the veil itself, what it's doing, I was like, what is going on here? I mean.
And the fact that she kept it on, it's like keeping you're supposed to take a hat off indoors. She's veiled in there. It didn't go with it. It looked like she was going to another event than the other women. It didn't.
Yeah.
It was weird.
And she's going, I'm going for fashion, Andy. Fashion, fashion, fashion. And it was like, I don't know. I don't know what that is. You just went to Mood Fabrics and bought a whole bunch of red fabric. There we go.
It looked like she kind of took a bolt of fabric and just wound it around herself.
And then got sewn into it. And
I was going to say they're making it on the fly, which is not terribly uncommon with gowns. I know that's, the Oscar gowns. I know they can do that last second, but this one just was. You could tell the producer off camera was.
Well, she
really
apparently
annoyed.
Was almost 2 hours late. She made them start almost 2 hours late. Yeah. Wow. That's the tea that they were supposed to start. This is what I found out from Jeff Lewis's show, and Crystal was on it, that they were supposed to start around 8:30, 8:45 in the morning. And it's like, of course, yeah, probably we're going to start half an hour late because people usually start late. They didn't start till almost 10 o'clock. Or at least a little after 10 o'clock that morning because of Dorit. Because of Dorit and all that stuff. And they're like, everybody's waiting around, ready to go. And Dorit's still taking TikToks and then has a wardrobe malfunction and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da. And I was like, well.
Watching them go over and looking, they were going back to Kyle said she kind of exaggerated the friendship, and clearly Dorit sees it differently. And I started thinking about their history together because they were known as close housewives, like a bestie pair. And I was like, has all this time Dorit been, she latched on to Kyle and has been mirroring Kyle and her drama for to stay on the show?
Yes.
I mean, you had okay, where do we begin? Kyle moved to Encino. Dorit moved up the street. Kyle got robbed. Dorit got robbed. Kyle announces marital issues. Suddenly, PK and Dorit have marital issues. And I'm thinking she thought, I think this separation, this schism between them makes her nervous, because I think she latched on to Kyle, obviously, to stay on the show, and Kyle's cutting her loose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing, like, right now, yesterday, I think, PK wasn't wearing his wedding ring. I did appreciate he was outside a fast food joint smoking a cig, like in a hoodie. I can relate. But,
you should invite him up to Starbucks / the Sugar Suite with you.
He actually might not. He called me a C word. That's right. On Instagram once, but yeah.
Yeah, but if you're British, it's true. Endearing.
It's sort true.
Of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was saying, you dapper fellow. No, but I started realizing, because there have been questions. Like, basically what I'm getting at is, PK and Dorit, are they like, oh, Mo and Kyle are having issues, let's get some issues too? Like, do they keep, I don't know the extent of their, I don't know if they can afford to divorce the way some of the others can.
Yeah.
It seems like their finances are like a,
well, I mean,
allegedly a house of cards.
For years, I have felt that Dorit thought she was better friends with Kyle than Kyle thought she was. However, in the last, like, I wouldn't say maybe 2 to 3 years before this season, I thought that they had grown closer since Teddy left, basically. Mm-hmm. Since Teddy left, they were a little bit closer, even though knowing that Kyle is still friends with Teddy off camera. So then I thought, there's a part of me that's like, I think you're being a little harsh, Kyle. Yet at the same time, sometimes there's that thing where you're friends with somebody and they think that they're closer friends with you, and you've tried to like make that known, and you try to like kind of separate yourself, and they're still there. I think we've all had, well, hopefully, I know I've had that. And eventually it's like breaking up with somebody who won't let you break up with them. And eventually you just have to be mean to them to like get it through, because they're not getting it. Mm-hmm. And so that could be something that Kyle's kind of going through, and it looks harsh to all of us because it's in public. So.
And also, like, I think Kyle Kyle definitely compartmentalizes. Dorit may be her office bestie.
True.
She may be her closest castmate. But again, she has a personal life, and she said it on there. I have certain people, I wake up and I text, and we text all day. Mm-hmm. And obviously implying Dorit's not one of them. And then, so I do think like Kyle just had a drive at home, which is awkward because Dorit's been on the show so long. She knows what it's like to be a housewife. But basically, you're my housewife bestie. Mm-hmm. You're not my real life bestie. And when cameras are off, I'm in Aspen or Nashville or Cabo with Morgan. In Faye.
I will say that if either of the two of you or any other loved one in my life sends me a text as long as the one that Kyle sent to Dorit, where it took 3 screenshots for people who were posting that text. 3, that's how fucking long it was. If you send me one of those, I'm never going to read it. I'm going to become that meme, sorry, I ain't reading that. I'm happy for you, or sorry that happened.
That's why I send two-minute long voice notes to you.
Yeah, I listen to those. Because you... better judgment. That's exactly. How much I love you. I listen to those.
Because you miss my voice, too.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Oh.
One other thing you guys did not prepare me for, and they showed in the flashbacks, was Kyle's bangs era. Why didn't you? Why? How did I not know
it was
about
for
that?
A movie? She
looked ridiculous.
It was for like Halloween, and she made it known that she had to have those bangs for the character, because she was filming that. She was filming the movie while filming a season of Housewives. Mm-hmm.
I was not prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just not. I was like, whoa.
She hasn't gone back to them. It was really like something, a wardrobe hair.
She was very clear that she did not enjoy the bangs. All right.
Okay. That's acceptable. Okay.
I'm trying to think what else.
Next week, though, this clip is killing me. I can't wait to see it. I'm sorry, Nate, but when Kyle and Sutton get into it, it's been all over. And Kyle, I'm sorry, she took that. She was like, the way she ended it, like when, what is it? Well, not spoil it, but she basically is accused of hiding her life, not sharing enough. She's like, in 14 years, you have seen my kids grow, go to college. You have seen my like family relationships destroyed, my marriage destroyed, this, that. And what do you have this season? A horse and a dating coach? I was just like, that was like back of the limo, Kyle. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. That was like, you want to talk about my storyline? Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get furious watching this episode, aren't I? Just furious. I'm going to break it.
Well, I mean, people tend to hate Kyle. So they're going to side with your girlfriend Sutton there. But I just have to say, that was like, was like, listen, Southern Belle, the Richards gloves are off. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in back of the limo, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is that like Kyle goes through eras. I mean, we all do, but she goes through eras of like, there's nice Kyle, there's victim Kyle, there's like sexy Kyle. And then there's not villain Kyle, but there is, I want to say like, what comes to mind is like tigress, like don't fuck with Kyle. Like Kyle will like come at you, like claw at you, Kyle. Like there's that Kyle.
Yeah.
And she's that Kyle right now. Like she's in that era of like, don't fuck with me right now. Like fucking, you know, she's been a little sexy. Now she's like, rawr. So yeah.
The other thing where I think, where Kyle like really gloves were off with Dorit is where Dorit says, you're a punisher. She opens that with, you're punishing me. You're a punisher, which was something directly on the show. I think last reunion, they're still kind of living in last year's reunion this season.
The whole Kathy thing.
Then, yeah. And she said, when she said that Kyle had said last season, in tears about Kathy, that Kathy's a punisher. And then she, you know, if you don't follow her rules, she withholds emotionally, you feel punished. And then so for Dorit to observe that, then turn around and use that against Kyle, I think she was like, it's that sister thing, getting too close to the sister dynamic, and that's when she swats you down and is like, stay out of my business. Mm-hmm. Like, let me remind you, you're not even my bestie.
I'm looking forward to next week's for sure.
Yeah.
Because will Kathy come out then, or will she come out in part three? Who can say?
Her presence is felt throughout. She doesn't even have to come on camera. You just know she's in this. She just know. They all know. What else is happening? Should we go down a tax bracket and over to Valley Village?
One tax bracket, just one.
and just over like one zip code though too, because we're talking in Encino.
Yeah. Yeah,
guys, do you know what today is? Today, for people listening, we record this on Sunday, but today is the 1 year anniversary of Scandaball.
Yeah,
balloons. This is the time. Yeah, your balloons
can I make it
out.
Happen? I need thumbs up. No, sparkle hands.
Look how far we've come. We've all aged a year, and Sandoval has not. Not. He might be getting younger, actually. Like,
well, yeah. And I'm sure he's found ways to make money too. Even though he's like, everybody's pointing the finger at Ariana making bank off of everything, he's making money though too. Like, he's found ways to. He's got his own podcast on something, and he did that whatever reality show SAS type of thing.
The
New
Zealand one.
And I'm sure there's other ways that he's been making money too, because somebody's got to pay for his human growth hormones, allegedly, you know. So yeah, Look.
And his staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. His whole...
And his band, because remember, he was paying for everything. He was paying for everything for his band and his tour and all that stuff. So, and Ariana's not paying for the house, yeah, so he's got to pay for that too. And he's going to pay her $3 million to get out of that house. So, he's got money coming in from somewhere, supposedly.
I mean, I think the secret to coexisting with Sandoval and benefiting from it is not to be super close to him. You're Ariana, you're a bestie, a girlfriend. He'll cheat on you, he'll throw you away, whatever. But if you're just some like mid-tier friend, hanger-oner, he seems very generous, not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Throwing out money, part of his squad. So that's the secret. So we need to like become acquaintances and like cap it just enough to where he's like buying, paying for our like Botox and things.
It's what an insane waste of perfect hair that man has.
Does have good hair.
Like, I mean, he's such good hair. That's all like, because as much as Schwartz's hair bothers me every time Sandoval's on, I'm like, God damn, that's a good hair.
You missed
hair.
It though.
I know, and he's done so many drugs that can thin it. Allegedly.
Remember the year that Katie and Schwartz got married? He had those weird white, not dreads, but those like things in his hair. It was weird. He had really horrible hair that year. You should see, I'll send you pictures. Okay. I mean, he's got a great head of hair. But sometimes his hairstyles are terrible. And that year his hairstyle was terrible. And you were just like, what are you doing, dude? Okay. What are you doing? Okay. But if I was one of the two of you, yes, I would be very jealous of his hair.
Yeah, it's pretty luxurious.
It really is.
It is.
I would have, I generally speaking, I mean, you know this, I hate uncomfortable situations. Like, that's why I can't really watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, because it drives me crazy. If I were in that store, Rashina and Brock were fighting, like that poor woman that was in the store, I for the longest time, I thought they weren't going to cut to her, but then they did, and she was just up against the wall. I don't know what I would have done in that situation, but I would have been so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not just a little argument. They were screaming at
this
each
other. This is about
raising. There would have been a Nate-shaped hole in the wall.
I literally got up and started emptying my dishwasher because I couldn't handle it, but I needed to, I knew it needed to be on. If you have divorced parents who fought in front of you, this is exactly like your nightmare childhood right in front of you going on. You're just like, oh, crap hat. No. So yeah, very, very uncomfortable. I was more uncomfortable with that than seeing Brock in his budgie smugglers.
He looked good.
I mean, he looks good in them. They still make me like Speedos will always make me a little uncomfortable. Doesn't matter. Like if you have a small penis, that's just a lot to pack into something very small. Like, I'm not saying that Brock has a small penis. I'm just saying in general with Speedos. It's just, I don't think men should wear that little clothing. But like, I am more comfortable with that than with a couple fighting in public.
I just assume that that's like how Brock dresses because of the fact that nobody in the group was shocked by it. Like Sandoval saw him in the kitchen and was kind of like, and made a joke, but nobody else even batted an eye.
Well, he's Australian, and I don't know. I think they have different, lean more European towards
body positivity issues. Yeah,
I guess. I mean, when I was a kid, I'll never get out. When I was like a little kid taking swim lessons, someone wore Speedos, like an adult, and I was in cracking up. I thought they were underwear, and they're still like, I thought they were underwear. I don't think you're doing it for like shock value. A bright pink neon Speedo in America on TV.
Look at me. I'm Australian. Look at me in my tiny swim trunks. Yeah. Look at me, this big man in tiny swim trunks. Because he's a big man.
He looks it. How pissed do you think Ariana has to be, like, just looking, watching this episode? Because she's losing, like, the high ground. Because they don't necessarily, they haven't forgiven Sandoval, but they're warming up to it. You can see it happening. And Ariana's not there. And it's like, oh, she's got to be pissed.
It's inevitable. Yeah.
Well, she's also reliving it because
technically this already happened. She's just seeing it. But from what we can tell, she's already heard it somewhat. She's already been living through this. So
the conversation between James and Sandoval outside the restaurant. One of the most incredible conversations I've ever seen. I've never heard bro use that much that fast. Like, James was starting and ending sentences with bro. I've never seen that before. It was impressive.
He's an impressive man. He's an impressive man.
You know what? He's kind of growing on me.
Because I'll also say this. For as much shit as we give Sheena for making Scandoval all about her, James has done the exact same thing. That he has made Scandoval all about him, about how badly Tom has and Raquel, but more specifically Tom, has hurt him and how badly he has been hurt. Whereas I there are times when I want to give into it and be like, yeah, I can see, like, you thought he was like your best friend and he helped pay for your, speaking of money, he helped pay for your engagement, your proposal to Rachel and yada yada, but you guys were broken up when he cheated on his girlfriend with your ex-fiance. Like, in these conversations, you're not talking about, was there anything going on between you, or I found out there was something going on. It was just, I feel you have a right to feel betrayed as a friend of, like, I can't believe that you were stepping out with my ex-fiance. Like, I feel weird about that, yada, yada. And then you're lying to your girlfriend. But he manages to Sheenify this and make this all about him as well, which I...
Like, it shattered his world.
Yes!
He was like...
I mean, if I was Allie, I would be very concerned about this, because I'd be like, really? Really? This is all about you? I don't understand this.
He even had a line.
She's seen shades of it with Graham Cracker.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Man, the Graham Cracker thing. You guys mentioned it last week when I was like, oh, he's a beautiful dog. And you're like, he had some issues. Clearly this one you could tell, because I think James, when the big reveal, when Lisa walked the dog out and like James was expecting everybody to be happy, they just didn't care. Mm-mm. They didn't care. And then even Sandoval even looks down because he knew why it was why Grand Crawford was rehoused. And it's like, wow. So this dog must be worse than I, you know, you warned me. Still a very cute dog.
His name is Hippie. Remember that?
Hippie
now
yeah. Yeah.
He's hippie now. But yeah, but he's still, is he any nicer? We don't know yet. Is he not biting people? We don't know yet.
Didn't seem to love the cat.
I mean, no. No. Cat's not a fan of him.
I like the cat.
We all like the cat.
Mr. Banks.
You and I like the cat. We love cats.
I don't dislike cats. I like
cats. Oh. Even Allie spelled it out, like, how great they are as pets. They're independent. They're this. And I was like,
that's what I like about them,
too. And they break up.
She gets the cat. He gets Graham. Sorry, Hippie. Oh. Well, anyway, speaking of Rachel, it came out. She dropped look, there's been a lot of lawsuits dropped this week. But she dropped a lawsuit against Tom and Ariana and 50 John Jane Doe's in regards to the video that Ariana found that Tom took of her while she was pleasuring herself on FaceTime with him, and the recording that Ariana found on Tom's phone when how she discovered the cheating. And this is it's such an interesting, like, complaint here. Now granted, it's civil, it's a civil case, it's not a criminal case,
but the implication is revenge porn.
From Ariana, it's revenge porn, not from Sandoval. That for Sandoval it is eavesdropping, that both are an invasion of privacy, and that because from from what Rachel has heard and understands, she believes that Ariana sent this video to other people. Ariana admits to sending it to herself so that she had proof to be like, because I'm sure, you know, Tom would have been like, I didn't do that. There was nothing like that on my phone. You can't prove it, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, here it is. And apparently she also sent it to Rachel. to say, yo, I know what you did. Fuck off. You're dead to me. But Ariana stands by that she never sent it to anybody else. But that there's a whole bunch of stuff of like that Ariana told production, told this. I was like, so you have an affair with somebody. The girlfriend finds out and she's mad and she's not allowed to tell people that she found you, that she found evidence. Like I 100% agree that if Ariana sent it to other people, no, she should not be doing that. That is revenge porn. You should not be disseminating any type of information like that. But Raquel doesn't seem to have proof of that. This will all come out in the wash, I believe. Like we'll find out, you know, if this goes to trial.
I remember when Scandoval first broke and that happened, she sent, which kind of laid the groundwork for this lawsuit, she immediately sent a cease and desist to all cast and production demanding they delete this video, which implies that it had been spread. Like you said, we don't know if it was also preemptive. She was just,
I think it's a blanket thing just in case. However, but Ariana has offered up her phone for forensics to go for like digital forensics to go through it and say to see if like she's disseminated this information, this video to anybody.
Yeah.
And Raquel's lawyers, who are Mark Garagos, who is attached to Bethany in the Reality Reckoning, who also is attached to, excuse me, we've talked about this like a few months ago, his company, his private equity firm, the people who have bought out the Los Angeles Times and are quickly, you know, running the Los Angeles Times into the ground, which is a great publication beforehand. It has great journalists with it. But besides the point, like this, they're not taking Ariana up on this. So why don't they want to make sure that the truth is out there? Does that make sense? Like, I'm like, that's going to, if you're even going to do a civil case, then that's going to have to come up in discovery. Like you're going to have that happen then.
Mm-hmm. There was an added layer in the statement that Mark Garagos released, that not only of the eavesdropping and the revenge porn and the invasion of privacy, but they also threw in a line about how Rachel is the victim of predatory behavior by an older man, being Sandoval. But I'm like, where are they going with that? Because it's not like Rachel was a minor. That like, I guess they're,
yeah, she was like 30.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, Sandoval's older, but when you say predatory behavior of an older man, that I'm not sure what they're going for there, except to make Sandoval just sound and look really bad.
Mm-hmm. There also, what else? Oh, sorry. I wish I had it marked and then I took it off. What is it? It was something about how Rachel, as a result, she has suffered in silence as Bravo and Evolution watched the viewership explode and the rest of the cast has enjoyed unseen levels of public recognition and professional opportunity. Meanwhile, Levis, who was humiliated and villainized for public consumption, remains a shell of her former self, with career prospects stunted and her reputation in tatters. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. So you willingly have an affair with an asshole. I mean, look, I hate Tom Sandoval. I think he's a narcissist. I think there's a lot, and they can be incredibly manipulative at the same time. But again, this is again a public showing of Rachel not taking accountability for what she has done. And I think it's really hard because I want to stand up for her because I don't think that video should be out there. I certainly hope that Ariana did not spread it. I don't think that the minute we found out that it happened, I immediately was like, oh my God, Tom, that's like porn. Like that's like, you shouldn't be doing that. That's horrible. Like the fact that was done without her. But it seems like she's mad at the wrong people. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I got to spread out the hate or the madness, or like even her attorneys are like, we'll just go after everybody as opposed to.
Well, I mean, like, I think watching this, I like her. I don't think she's a great person, but no one on this show is. But look, I think my thinking is she obviously Sandoval's the primary target, but she did have to include Ariana on the, or else it would just look like a scorned, this is a new twist. It would have been a, she would just look like a scorned ex-girlfriend. And now, so going after everyone instead of just him. And then the second thing too is, I mean, look, Ariana has made a fortune off of this. They're still using, Tom is still on the show raking in money. And the whole show is fueled by her scandal. She's mentioned constantly, everyone's making money, and she's been kind of shamed away from it. And so, I mean, I don't know where they'll, I don't know what charges will stick, but did she file against production?
Not yet. It's just Tom and Ariana. John Doe's, you said.
Okay, because she should go. I mean,
yeah, because she's not going against Bravo. She's not going against Evolution. She's not going against any producers.
That's where it's weird.
And that's exactly, that's where it's weird. And that's also, this is my thing though too, is that I partially agree with her not coming back on the show for her mental health. I can understand that. Like, this is, it's a lot. I would not want to be in that position at this time. Like, look, to have an affair 30 years ago before the internet and social media in public was a lot easier. I'm sure it was still tough, but look, like, Monica Lewinsky was like the beginning of like the craziness of having an affair. Like, imagine that. Like, in a sense, like Raquel Leviss was Monica Lewinsky'd in that sense, but kind of worse in some ways with social media and all of that stuff. However, she also was given a platform if she wanted to see if she wanted to trust Bravo and Evolution to tell her side of the story. And she's not. She decided not to. And that was her decision, not to come back to the show and not to give herself a chance. But she still is a part of this story. She's still a part of this show. Like, Kathy's a part of, like, yeah, Beverly Hills, like, wafting over. Rachel's exactly the same doing that. But Rachel's decided to do her own podcast and tell it on her side. And that's her decision to do it that way. So I vacillate day to day of like how I'm feeling about it. There's something about it that inherently tells me it's wrong, that it's not for the complete right reasons, and that it's going to blow up in her face, even if she was right.
I think it hinges too on if Ariana sends it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if that cease and desist was preemptive. In that case, she has a case, but otherwise, you're right. I mean, we don't know if she sent it out or not.
She doesn't seem to have proof.
I could imagine sending it out.
She doesn't seem to have proof.
I could imagine that night, like, just to show her friends, their mutual friends, this is what that F-Face Sandoval did, you know, because she's been very clear, like, you can't speak to him. He's a narcissist. This is why. That's the only, in a fit of justifiable rage, but this is all hypothetical. I'm just saying, I could see her. I would have texted it, like, look at this bitch. But we don't know. So I guess until we do.
Did you see what LVP got interviewed by TMZ at LAX over the weekend? And they asked her, and she stopped and answered questions. They asked her a bunch of just general Bravo stuff about, like, you know, other lawsuits and such. But they asked her about this, and she totally victim blamed Rachel. The exact word she said are, Rachel should not have ever compromised herself by filming that video. Even though, okay, so she said that, and then the photographer at TMZ informed her, saying, no, actually, she was recorded without her knowledge. And Tom and Ariana were kind of responsible for spreading it. And LVP didn't really back down. She's like, eh. So she, like, you guys spoke to you guys said earlier about how she always defends the men and not the women. Yeah. Like, this was so victim blaming her. Like, well, which you see a lot with sex tapes. When sex tapes get leaked, it's always like, well, maybe you shouldn't have made it. Yeah. Every single time.
Yeah. And that's wrong. Like, I don't support the affair that they had, but however they wanted to do shit, fine. I don't support him recording her. You know what I mean? Because look, sexting, long distance stuff, like, you got to make shit work, man. You got to make sure. And if you're having an affair, you got to make shit work. So yeah, obviously like shit like that was happening, but you don't, yeah, you don't victim blame and you don't, I don't know.
We put it up on Twitter, on the PCP Twitter. I do imagine how this all turns out. Totally not go into, but the house gets, the Sandoval Ariana house dispute gets pushed to the side, be settled, in that Ariana ends up winning huge sums of money from this and just takes the house and collections. That would be like, not even circle of life, circle of toxicity. I don't know.
Do you mean Rachel gets the house?
Well, who did I say?
You said Ariana gets the house.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you guys looked really puzzled. Yeah.
I think already has the house.
Oh my. Yeah. No. Backtrack. I'm sorry. If Sandoval and Ariana, you know, this legal battle over their house, wouldn't it be funny in the end if Raquel ends up winning? They have to just sign it over, like some sitcom. They have to sign it over to Raquel because she wins like millions against each of them.
That would be ironic, don't you think? Well, okay, this is happier news, at least for some. That right before we started recording, Lala announced on Instagram and socials that she's pregnant with her second child.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She's
Mazel tov.
Looks like she's in her looks like she's in her second trimester. And at first I was like, well, who's she banging? But then I was like, oh no. She's talked about using a sperm donor, so I'm pretty sure she did that way.
In Cosmopolitan, the end of January, she talked about, so she kind of, it's not a huge surprise. She said she was going through with artificial, but damn, second trimester means when she gave that interview, she was already pregnant.
Yeah.
And so she was just teasing us a little.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, good for her. Bring it, get a little. Yeah. I mean, now we have to come up with new, you know, brother or sister names for ocean. We got sand. We got surf. seaweed.
Wave.
Where? Actually, what? Tsunami.
Yachty.
That's a good name. That's a good name.
Ooh, yeah. Lil Yachty. Lil Yachty 2.
Oh, I like it. Okay. I like it.
If it's a boy, it's Lil Yachty 2.
Her daughter is, you can't blame me. I keep calling them a Summer and Ocean. So.
Yeah.
That summer is like Sheena.
Summer is Sheena.
What else is there, though?
Yeah.
What else is there?
I think we should talk about the family show that's going to be starting, The Valley, which is starting, this week or next week? I don't know. All I know is that
March 19th.
There seems to be a PR stunt happening right now.
Don't you mean the Broken Family show, not the family show? The
Broken Family show. I'm so sorry.
That's so weird that they announced their separation a week before the show comes out on the podcast they do together. That's wild.
Oh, is that where?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
And now Brittany's been conveniently photographed packing up her stuff and leaving the house. Very reminiscent of when the breakup.
For a SoFi ad.
Yeah, when she was carrying the boxes out of her house. Yeah.
Empty banker's boxes. Yeah. Like, no. I don't know. This is my thing, is that I kind of go, well, it's about fucking time that you break up with him. But at the same time, I go, I don't know if I believe that this is real for so many reasons.
I 100% don't believe it's real. I think these two have their big shot. Jax and Brittany have their big shot back at Bravo, at Stardom. They need the money. Mm-hmm. They didn't get that. They didn't get that Scandoval money the way the others did. They've been off network TV for a while. I mean, kind of bottom of the barrel. You know, doing those like Big Brother Yugoslavia, like talking about. This is their big chance to make. They need the show to be a hit because they need money. So I think they're creating their own Scandoval to get some interest.
I mean, they had a watch what happens, basically, like watch with Jax and Brittany last season VPR. It was kind of like the people's couch, but our goggle box with the two of them watching last season's VPR. But it only lasted like 2 or 3 episodes. So I don't know what even happened there. So I was like really surprised that they gave them the Valley. I mean, granted, there's other people in it too, because I was like, you didn't want them on television again? I don't know. I don't know what's happening. But yeah, like, look, they both know what they're doing. Don't let Brittany's like cute little Kentucky accent fool y'all. Like, she knew what she was doing getting involved with Jax Taylor, with, you know, Jason Couchy. Mm-hmm. She knew what she was doing. She knew. Mm-hmm. She knew getting married at Versailles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll let all those VPR things come out with the wash, all of that stuff, VPR in the Valley. But I'm interested to see where all these people live in the Valley.
Hashtag Valley Village. Mm-hmm. Sheena Sherman Oaks. I don't know. I think also too with Lala's baby, I was thinking, I heard Alex Baskin has hinted they could wrap up Vanderpump Rules this season. And hinted, you know, they always like to keep you guessing. But I'm like, the way there, it was like, Lala's going to need a bigger place. She lives in an apartment in Westwood right now. Maybe she'll end up in a modern farmhouse McMansion somewhere off Burbank Boulevard too. Mm-hmm. And they're like growing up and moving along.
Well, this is why I say, like, don't, granted, it already wrapped for the year, but Southern Hospitality, it is the new VPR. It just is, you know, it's growing. It's what VPR used to be. Young drunk kids in the service industry. So yeah, and that drama that follows them. So VPR has definitely changed a lot. So yeah, we'll see. But Lisa, we all know Lisa's going to keep it going somehow. Somehow she's going to keep her cash cow going. But I almost said, speaking of cows.
Oh, no. Ouch. No.
Ouch.
Well, and that's only because you speak so ill of her, because you hate this housewife so much, because she has mooed you over.
She scammed me. Let's just say I'm glad she's putting the money she may or may not have jipped me out of to good use. So
yeah,
I'll leave it there.
Heather Gay admitted.
If her insides can't be pretty, at least her outside can look better.
Well, there you go.
So
I mean, she's admitting to using Ozempic, and she's going by the wayside of Oprah Winfrey of finally admitting that they're using Ozempic. And I applaud her for that. I go, as everybody knows who listens to this podcast regularly, we are Ozempic positive on this podcast, that we all say that if we had enough money to have access to it, we would use it in a second, because then we wouldn't.
Hashtag where you should rate, subscribe, review, and follow.
Exactly. help us fuel our need for Ozempic. But I, you know, she's pretty brutally honest about it. And I was like, you know what? She's I feel like she's right. Like, as we've all three of us have had weight issues. So we've all been there, in all honesty. We all kind of, you want to be body positive and you want to say all the right things, but sometimes you're just like, this sucks. How can I do this?
Yes. I mean, it's Bravo. The pressure is always there. I mean, it's not just Bravo, the network. I mean, it's, you're on TV. You're on a lifestyle show about aspirational glamour.
And when she's talking about everybody, like, getting smaller and smaller around her who are using it. And she's already a what I always hated being called, and I still sometimes get called it, a big girl, because I'm tall. Mm-hmm. And Heather Gay is tall like me. Like, I would say she and I are probably like we're the same height. We're different builds, but we're the same height. But when you're a tall woman, just like also like Luann, that's why I get upset when Ramona would call Luann Luman. Like, because there's just being a tall woman, you can get, like, when Heather Gay was called Shrek, like, you get called a lot of stuff. So, and it's already hard because, like, if you're already around tiny women, like women who are like 5'2", who like J-Lo's a perfect example. People are like, J-Lo's curvy. J-Lo's like 5'3" and weighs like 105. That's not fucking curvy. Mm-hmm. Like, that woman is tiny. She's tiny and she got an ass. Like, there you go. There's like so many people. You're like, oh, she's curvy. Like Kim Kardashian, same fucking thing. Like that yeah. girl's like 5'2" maybe. And even if you looked at her.
Yeah, like 5.
Yeah. Like, sure, she bought some curves and shit like that, but like she's still small. Like, she's a small person. So when you compare that to somebody who's like 5'10", 5'11", almost 6 feet tall. Yeah, even if you're Karlie Kloss and like really thin, you're still bigger compared to them. So,
what's her name? Brandi Glanville told me about that. Just like on the show, she's statuesque. Mm-hmm. She was a model, and she's like 5'10",
and she's thin.
And she was like, "You have no, And she was like, "But you have no idea how hard it is being around like Kyle's like 5'1", Vanderpump's like 5'2". She's like, "They're tiny, and even if it's not weight, I look like a giant next to them."
You do,
and so yeah.
So I understand Heather Gay being like, "I didn't want to be that anymore." She said it a different way, but I kind of took it as like, it didn't feel body positive to her. Like, if you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't feel right in your body, then do something about it.
And look, you had like a Jen Shah calling her Shrek.
Yeah.
On national TV. I mean, as much as she wants to say she's proud, it must hurt. Mm-hmm. And people bring it up online. And, yeah, I mean, she's being honest. It's like, even if it's not ideal, it's the real world and the industry she works in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and
still don't like her, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. But I say, take all the Ozempic. As long as it doesn't kill you, take it.
Just share. Too bad Sandoval's so thin now. I was going to say naturally, but that would be a lie. But I mean, just because maybe he'd pay for it if we latched on. He shares.
He only shares.
Yeah, yeah.
He only shares the booger sugar.
Been there, done that. Yeah, it's going to be like,
He shares booger sugar and human growth hormone. That's what he shares. And maybe.
Allegedly.
And maybe allegedly an STI. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a big allegedly. That's just me making a joke. I'm not accusing him of anything like that. So,
speaking of making Ozempic dreams come true, the way you could really help us, again, please rate, review, subscribe, and follow Pretty Corrupt Podcast. You can hit us up on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, and also on Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. From all those accounts, of course, you could find our personal ones, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine. And again, slight change in the plan. We are moving PCP pop culture to Thursday now. So we're hitting you up all week with the latest, the most current. So make sure to subscribe, because that will start dropping Thursday and you'll get a little reminder. So on that note, who wants to say goodbye?
Bye. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.